Welcome to Growing Steady, the show where we help online creators like you build a calm business, one that's predictable, profitable, and peaceful. We're your hosts, Jason and Caroline Zook, and we run Wandering Aimfully, an unboring business coaching program, and Teetree, an online course platform for designers. Join us each week as we help you reach your business goals without sacrificing your well-being in the process. Slow and steady is the way we do things around here, baby.
All right, cinnamon rollers, that's you. Let's get into the show. Welcome back to the podcast. We are two Zooks who are mucus-free and feeling spree? That's what came to mind, and that's okay. Not at all.
No.
Spree like the candy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm feeling spree.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of a sick week in this house.
Heard it's 2 weeks, going around. Really. Heard it's been going around.
It's been going around. And yeah, it feels good to be just here and not blowing my nose every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I know my voice sounds a little...
huskier than normal.
Huskier than normal. Some of you will like that. Others easy, of you will be annoyed
easy,
by that.
Easy.
But just bear with me.
Yeah. We have a lot to chat about because what's been happening? A lot on our plates. And this is self-imposed. So just, you know, to be clear about that.
Isn't it always, Jason?
It is for sure. I wanted to let you know that I don't even think you really saw this happening yesterday, but for the creamy listeners who are here, my ninja creamy, First of all, I would just like everyone to know, I am not the type of person who like buys a new thing, uses it for like a week, and then gives up on it.
No.
I think we all know this about me. I've been making sourdough for 4 years straight. I literally only took a break when we were traveling full time because I couldn't keep a starter going while we were moving countries and beds every week.
I'm trying to think of anything that you, like a kick that you've gotten on that you've stopped.
Well, it's because like I do enough front end research and I think I'm an impatient person, but it's like I get from... I know I want to do this to making the purchase of the thing very quickly. But in that time, I also go, but do I really want to do this?
Right.
So the Ninja Creamy is a perfect example. Sunday is now Ninja Creamy day for me.
Yes.
And I put together, it was 5 creamies. I'm just going to keep saying creamy a lot.
And I did notice because I saw your little tubs.
All lined up.
Lined up perfectly with their lids next to each other.
Yeah.
On the countertop. And I thought, that's cute.
If I cared more, I would just make like a Ninja Creamy like TikTok or Instagram channel and just like do recipes over and over again because there's a million things you could do.
Your extreme niche.
But I wanted to share 2 things.
Okay.
Number one, I'm excited for today after lunch day.
What's today?
Pistachio.
Yeah, super excited.
Very excited. I did have a moment too where I made it and it wasn't as green as I'm used to seeing pistachio ice cream when you buy it.
And then you realized how much green they add to it.
They add some food coloring to this. But it did turn somewhat green. So, you know, but I didn't add any food coloring. I thought about it. We do have some food coloring gel. But the second thing I wanted to share with everybody, because very important that they know this. What is our number one topping we have added to our mix for our Ninja Creamies?
Reese's Puffs cereal.
This cereal is crack.
But see, buddy, this is what I mean about creamy is a slippery slope. Because like, you know how much processed cereal we had in our house before the Ninja Creamy?
Zero.
Yeah. Zero. For 5 years, we didn't purchase processed cereal. Yeah. Do you know how much cereal we have in our house right now?
How much?
More than zero.
Yeah.
And
two boxes of Reese's Puffs. We have the Reese's Puffs and we have the Reese's Puffs Minis. There's an international grocery store that we can order from online because this cereal does not exist in the stores here in Portugal. We can only get like Frosted Flakes and Cheerios.
Yeah. And there's some the name of the thing, which I love, is
Glued.
Glued. G-L-O-O-D. Global Food. But it's called Glued. And I think that's so cute.
Shout out to Waymer Maria, who introduced us to Glued and Flavors,
Maria's,
which is another one.
Best.
But anyway, I will say, I hear what you're saying about we've added in processed food. However, we do half of a serving of the puffs. So it's literally 80 calories of Reese's Puffs.
I hear that.
It's not food, 100%.
That's
agree
what I'm
with
saying.
You.
I don't care about the calories.
But
I'm saying like
the
ingredients.
What's the takeaway?
That you think that the joy offsets the...
And?
What?
Those Reese's Puffs are damn good.
They're so good. right. I do think like it's a net overall positive
life. I heard Dave Chang on the Dave Chang Live cooking show that's on Netflix. Also, if you've not watched that, some people might not like it because it's a little bit cringy. Like it's hard to watch people like
fumble through
and be live and whatever. But he talked about his obsession and he'll eat like 4 bowls of Reese's Puffs in like one sitting. And I was like, come on, man.
You got influenced.
And then, it had already been in the works.
No, but this is what got you. Cause you remember you bought the like the crappy version at the grocery
store.
Yeah. And you were like, I really wanted this to be like Reese's Puffs. And then Dave Chang talked about it.
And
you were
like,
I think I need to bite the bullet.
And I'm going to test this. And he was right. They are so good.
Oh, it's delicious.
A Okay, let's get into what matters. That's our little intro where we either talk about my creamy obsession, my sourdough baking, you know, any of those things that are very important for everyone who listens to this.
Did you have any questions about my hobbies? That's right. I don't have hobbies right now, Jason. You know why? Because I'm working on our business every hour of the day.
Businesses. Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying that in a joking manner. This is actually a problem for me because when I enjoy my work, I get a little bit too sucked into it. And so Jason and I had a conversation this week where I was like, I'm recognizing that I'm doing some of my patterns. I'm back to not brush my teeth and stuff. In case any of you who remember that episode, this is a telltale sign.
Yeah.
When I'm rushing through the teeth brushing process and I'm like cheating myself, or I'm like, I know I'm supposed to brush them for 2 minutes, but I'm only brushing it for 30 seconds. That's when I know I'm a little too into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm starting to really wonder if this is like a brain thing.
Yeah.
I'm starting to wonder if this is just a unique thing about my brain. When I get hooked into a work thing, it's very hard for me to pull away from that.
Yeah.
I get into this like flow. I really want to see it through to completion. And so I just become very singularly focused.
And I think this is actually a little bit of both of us too, because if you think back when we used to work together in our office in our Florida house, we worked right next to each other. And you know what we never ever had to do?
What?
We never had to go, hey, can I ask you a question? Or like, can you hear me? Do you realize that? Like we never had to do that.
But I think that's because that's a like a communication thing that we developed later.
Yeah. But I feel like we're like so much more focused in than we ever have been before when we're mm-hmm. doing tasks. This is collectively, this is all of us, mm-hmm. not just us. And I think that's just the nature of like how our brains have like slightly evolved in like the insane amount of content.
Yeah. It's gotta be something where it's like our distractibility has gone way up where like our brains are more susceptible to being pulled in a million different directions. So it's almost like, I think the focus mode that I have to go into in order to compensate for that is so much harder. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's so much stickier. So when I'm in a focus,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I think the change and just like literally looking at like a big, like zoomed out. I don't have a study here from Peter Attia that I can reference that you know, was done in a peer reviewed trial, but I'm just saying our own unique 10-year experience of working together next to each other.
Yeah.
10 years ago, we did not have to say like, hey, can you hear me? Can I ask you something? Like we weren't that locked into a task.
Which just for those listening, that's our cue for when we are both locked into a task. It prevents the person from interrupting that flow by being like, start talking. And then you don't even hear what the person's saying because your brain doesn't have a chance to catch up. So in our relationship, when one of us is into a task, we will either, and you're going to laugh, but like we'll raise our hand.
Yeah.
As a way of saying like, hey, can I ask you something? But it doesn't interrupt the thought flow for the other person. So we'll raise our hand. And then when the person kind of closes the loop on what they're doing, they'll say, hey, what's up? Or we'll say, can you hear me? Which means like, can I have your attention? Or something like that. So, but again, I think that's something we have imposed because it's helpful in our relationship. But I think you're right. And it makes me laugh because I think back to like 10 years ago, remember when we used to all talk about like multitasking and we'd be like, oh, like tabs, so many tabs open, lol. And now I'm like, oh, when we say multitasking in 2024,
ooh,
it is like on a exponential level to what multitasking was 10 years ago.
Yeah, the distractibility graph is through the roof.
So then it's like your focus.
You need more focus so you can keep up.
So anyway, I have been really focused, but I continue to say this because I think it's important to make the distinction. I'm in a business renaissance right now. I just love working on our businesses. Everything feels like opportunity. I'm enjoying the process of learning new things again. I am enjoying designing again. I've been doing a lot of design work, and that's what honestly brings me the most joy.
And huge shout out to Framer. I mean, we are not sponsored by Framer in any way whatsoever. We do have an affiliate link if you want to use it to sign up, but boy, Framer is giving us so much opportunity to create so much more.
So much more.
In
so
our
much
own like workflow too. Like
exactly.
We don't have to design something in Figma and then you spend a week turning that design into a website or something, or hiring someone who can do those things. It's like, you can design right in Framer. We can publish it and it's live. And so,
it makes me so excited because it's like the power of the creator was always really strong, even 10 years ago when you and I both started like solopreneur businesses, for lack of a better term. But what you can do as a solopreneur now, if you are someone who doesn't want to hire a big team, if you love creating things and you love turning your skills into your own business and having freedom and having all these things, it's never been like more powerful to be able to do that. And I know that also means that it's never been more overwhelming to do that, because just because now you can do wear every single hat in your business means that your attention feels like it's fragmented in that many more directions. But hopefully it's why you listen to this podcast too, because we struggle with that, but it's hopefully something that we can all work through together of like how to prioritize, how to focus your energy on the hat that you need to be wearing today in this moment. And that's a good segue into what we're going to be talking about in this episode. The hat we are wearing today is content creator.
So those of you who listened to our podcast about 6 months ago, you know that we did a content blitz. And so this was a quick little refresh and drum up of some attention for our Wandering Aimfully business to create 26 articles and 26 videos. And really, it was just a good lead up marketing, pre-marketing push to our launch in the fall. And I think it worked out well for what our goal was when we did it, which was just to drum up attention and to have more touch points in front of people as we were getting ready for that launch. That was the biggest launch we ever had. So I think it accomplished its goal.
Yes.
Short term. Long term, all of those articles, all those videos have basically done nothing. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the technical reasons, which why we think that has happened now that we've had someone help us do a little SEO audit of Wandering Aimfully's website, which is a hot mess. But what I do want to share is that we are now embarking on a new content journey called the 5-week content extravaganza.
Jason was like, we can't use blitz again, so we're gonna call it an extravaganza. And I was like, this is so like you to just, you have to like turn it into a thing.
It's the extravaganza. So we're gonna bring you all on the ride with us for the next couple of weeks, just sharing what we're working on, why we're working on it, how we're working on it, how we're feeling, how it's going. Just to throw this out there to you, I don't think we're going to be posting much at all in the 5 weeks.
Well, it's funny. You just said that on to our Wayne Weekly, but do you remember the conversation we had not 2 days ago where I told you that I really wanted to focus on just creation because I didn't want to have to split my attention to posting as well?
Well, we will take you along on that journey as we go.
We will decide that later.
Because that's part of this is we're getting back on the content train, so we need to create content, but what we don't want to do is put ourselves behind the eight ball of, okay, now we create a thing this week, we post it this week, and then we're doing that. We just want to bank a bunch of created content so that then we could start posting it.
Yeah, because just to back up, like, we've been out of the content game for like the past 2 years, meaning, yes, we have been creating newsletters every week. Yes, we have been creating these podcast episodes every week. Yes, we have been creating our coaching sessions every month for our members. Yes, we record a short video every week for our members. But all of that is what is basically like insulated content, right?
Yeah.
It is content that is what we would describe as nurture content. It is not
discoverable.
People are, you know, even if people trickle into the podcast, that's not going to be the majority of how that content works strategically. And so all that content has a very important and vital role in our business, but it is not going to attract a large amount of new people to find out about Wandering Aimfully and go, oh, I want to run a digital products business. Like, let me get on your newsletter and all that, right?
Yeah.
So we are at the point now where we are realizing that based on previous podcast episode about our spring launch, where it was a great launch, but we didn't get as many people as we had imagined to join WAM Unlimited. And so we had to take a step back and go, okay, well, why is that? And it really boils down to not getting enough new people into our ecosystem, right? So then you go, how do we fix that? Great. We need more discoverability content. And so that's where a lot of these discussions are coming from, and asking ourselves, what is a strategy that we can put together of what content we're creating? Now, simultaneously, Teatree has our other business, which is a software business, has no content. It's only been word of mouth. So that has been top of mind for us as well, knowing that we were going to have to create new content for Teatree. So here we are asking ourselves, content. Okay, we know that this is where we need to double down and focus our attention right now. Where do we begin? How do we formulate, like, what are we creating? Where are we posting? How do we get back in the game? And so all of that was to say, we're very much in the formulate a strategy and experiment phase right now. You're not going to come up with a well-oiled content sustainable machine when you go from zero to hero. Yeah. I just want to reiterate that if you're listening to this right now and you too are like, I know I need to be creating content to grow my audience. You're not going to suddenly have a calm business predictable system right out of the gate. You're going to have to go through this little bit messy phase to figure out, what do I want to create? How often can I create that? What does the input look like so that then you can systemize it on the back end?
Yeah. And I think for some people listening to this, you might be looking or listening to this episode and thinking, do I need to be creating more content? And I think the question to answer there is, well, like, how are things going in your business? And are there any clear signals that are telling you like something needs to change? And so for us, the clear signal in Teachery was for the first time, 3 months, month over month, our revenue declined. Yep. It wasn't by much, but it was enough to see like, okay, we've hit the peak of what word of mouth can do for Teachery.
Yep.
We have to do something else if we want this business to grow, which we do. And we've been talking about that on this podcast a little bit more. So that was the signal for that one. For Wame, we have had declining web traffic since the day that we started Wandering Aimfully as a website in 2018. And that has gotten to a place where we're like, okay, it has declined so much that we have to do something about it. Like clearly just doing, you know, nurture content for our audience is working because our revenue is growing, you know, year over year. But especially with this last launch being a little bit lower, it's like, okay, that is a signal. We need to do something to attract new people, as you were saying, to grow our audience.
Yeah. And a lot of this is not just growth for growth's sake. Again, going back to what is it all for and growing steady and like why are we doing all of that? We really want to set ourselves up for this next chapter of our businesses to be able to have a system where we have new people coming in and we're not having to work so hard for that every launch, right? This is an era of our lives where we want to be, you know, having kids and we want to be enjoying our life here in Portugal. And so you always have to be thinking in the back of your mind, where do I want my business to be in the next year, in the next 2, 3, 5 years? And so again, zooming the lens out to like, why are we doing that? And not just growing because, but yeah, because we have bigger life goals is important.
I wanted to give a little bit of a caveat here is that as we go through the rest of this episode and maybe even the next couple of weeks, it might feel a little bit overwhelming as you listen to us talk about this in our content schedules. And I think a big part of that is because we're basically 2xing the amount of work that we have to do because we have two businesses.
Correct.
So hopefully as you listen to this, we can try and point out some things of this is just you applying this to your one business. And we're basically trying to fit in 2 content plans, 2 content creation extravaganzas over the next 5 weeks. And if it was just for one business, it would probably feel a lot less of like kind of overall, this is a lot going on.
Totally.
So I just wanted to share that as you listen to this, because it may feel like, guys, you're doing too much here. And yes, we would agree, but we also like to kind of like give ourselves some constraints, see what we can get done. Cause we don't really want to be on the ever creation hamster wheel of content. We want to kind of like do it in chunks and then have breaks and then, you know, just kind of like batch it essentially.
Yeah. And again, you'll be along for us on the ride as we figure that out. So let's go back to the beginning. Let's imagine you are in the position that we're in where you go, okay, I know that I need to create some new content for new people to find my business. Where do I even begin? And our answer for many years has always been this like very simple 3-part content salad strategy is what we call it. And I'll quickly go over that. So it's this is what we would tell most people for the past few years. Start with your foundation, which is what we call your lettuce, which are articles that you put on your own site, and they're optimized for keywords related to your topic or niche. And the idea is that they will index with Google and you will get some organic search traffic so that people can find them. That is your overall strategy to get new people to discover your website, right? That would be one. Second part of that strategy is what we call your nurture content or your fixins. This is like your toppings on your salad. And that is content to nurture that audience once they find you. This could take the form of a newsletter most often, or it could also be a podcast. It could even be a YouTube channel where people who are already now in your ecosystem are getting content, valuable content on a regular basis. It's kind of ongoing and serialized. The third part of the strategy is then your social media, and that's your dressing on top of the salad. And this is like your micro content. You're breaking out all that other content into little bits that you can sprinkle on social media in bite-sized formats that can lead people back to your longer content, right? So this was always like the 3 easy things. Articles, basically articles, newsletter, social media content. Let's just say that. Now, the big difference that has shifted, I would say, in the past couple of years.
Not shifted in you, but shifted in the landscape.
It shifted in the landscape. This is shifting in me. This is shifting in the landscape. Yeah. Is, you know, short form video has now become such a huge part of social media. And specifically now people are even using social media apps as search engines.
Yeah.
So people are not just going to Google to look for articles. People are still doing that. But, you know, they're on TikTok searching online business. They are on YouTube Shorts. They are on Instagram Reels and searching for things in Instagram that's then telling the algorithm, oh, this person is interested in recipes. This person is interested in style. This person is interested in business, etc. And so we have to account for that in our strategy and realize that if you don't optimize for that, you're missing a huge opportunity for people to discover you on these short form platforms. So it's no longer social media is just the dressing. It's like it can also be its own form of lettuce, like its own form of a foundation for people to discover you.
I think this is one of the like biggest things that everybody needs to have in business is the kind of like resiliency to adapt and change as people's behavior adapts and change.
Correct.
And we are very guilty of trying to not jump on every trend and to our detriment sometimes of like, we could nail it on Instagram Reels because we know when we started doing them, like we had a couple of them that ended up going quote unquote viral. And like, that shows us that like, we actually are good at this. I give you a lot of credit. You're good at this. I was there for the silly humor. But that's a thing where we said, but you know what? We don't like doing that. So we're going to stop doing it. But I think what happened in the COVID era was like, people's behavior changed. And so they were on TikTok so much more. They were on Instagram so much more. We were all doing these things. And then that changes your behavior from like, well, I'm Googling things. I'm not getting great results. Like, let me go where I'm actually spending my time and start searching. And so that behavior has shifted to different platforms. And I think for us as business owners, it's just about realizing, great. So while it may not be something I want to do in creating a TikTok account or posting Instagram Reels, if my business, again, looking for the signals, if my business is in a decline of some sort, or I'm not seeing the same traffic to email conversion that I was seeing before from written content, which is what we ran into, then you have to change. And that's just like, we've talked about this before in different ways, but like, it's like only advertising your business in the yellow pages when like the internet is coming about. It's like, I don't know about this whole internet thing. I don't think it's going to stick. I like the yellow pages. It's been my steady stalwart for 20 years. And it's like, that's all well and good, but like the attention's going elsewhere. And so,
I think hard, we're in that moment. Right, Jace? Because I mean, we could do an entire podcast episode about this because we have this conversation all the time. It's such a fine line and a delicate balance that I wish I could give you the hard and fast rule that works every time. But it's like, on the one hand, we want to be the type of business that doesn't follow every trend because it's, you know, people's appetite doesn't mean that I necessarily want to just go chasing that at every turn. I want to make sure it feels in alignment with what I want to be creating, what our, you know, business values and all that. So you, on the one hand, you do have that and that's important. But on the other hand, just like Jason's describing, there's a little bit of a reality check of going all of the wishing and wanting in the world that, you know, X, Y, and Z tactic would be enough to reach your goals isn't going to make it so. So there's a little bit of, you have to also look at the signals the market is giving you and go, okay, well, if I'm not reaching my goals, I need to try something different. But that's a really delicate balance. And certainly we're not coming on here being like, everything we said about you can grow a business without social media is wrong. That's not what we're saying. You definitely can. And as Jason said, for 2 years, we were off social media and the business was growing and that's great. It's just, you have to allow yourself that for you and your individual goals, if you feel like your strategy is no longer, has the ability to reach those goals, give yourself permission to change your strategy.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of changing strategies, we have changed from a content salad strategy to a content salad
matrix. That's right. So I told Jason, I'm like, I need to update this whole content salad idea to account for this new fact that people are finding and discovering people and creators through social media content.
Yeah.
So how do we adapt this content salad to account for that? And what I realized is we're really talking about, I know Matrix is like a really
great movie. I know. I agree.
A really complicated word. And what I'm about to describe to you, especially in audio format, might sound a little complex, but I just want you to hold on tight and roll with me.
Yeah, you got
me.
This. You're doing the dishes. You're out for a run. You can handle this visual.
Because I'm telling you, if you can wrap your head around this, it has been such a powerful framework for me understanding what are the types of content we need to create for each business and what role do they serve in our larger business strategy, okay? So this is the new matrix. So I want you to imagine that we basically have two different binaries. So the first one is we have what we would call find content, and then we have what we would call nurture content, okay? Find content is content that is created for the sole purpose of someone searching a term and finding you through that term.
Yeah.
Okay. It's your this content is made in order to be discovered by new people. That's find content. Nurture content is content that is mostly created for people who are already in your audience, and you're not really creating it around search terms. You're creating it around, you know, your brand values, points that you want to get across to your audience. It's still delivering value, but it doesn't have to be wrapped in this sort of like SEO friendly wrapper. Mm-hmm. Okay. Find content versus nurture content. Then we have this other binary, which is short form content versus long form content. Short content being your classic short form video, but it could also be like a Instagram carousel, or it could be even Twitter a tweet threads. Thread or a LinkedIn thread, something like that. And long form content obviously being things like blog posts, newsletters, podcasts, things that are more long form. Great. So now that we know that we have those
we've established the matrix.
Those two matrix. Now I want you to picture a kind of 2x2 matrix where you have four quadrants. And the upper left-hand quadrant is going to be, we're going to combine these two things, right? So you're going to have find content that is also long form. So you're find long.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom left-hand quadrant, you're going to have find content that is short form.
Find on the left, long on top, short on bottom. I got it.
Great. Find long on the top, find short on the bottom left. On the top right, we have long nurture.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the bottom right, we have short nurture.
Got it. This is explaining visual concepts. Is the podcast is a perfect medium
I'm
for this.
I'm trying to. It's very
I think it's good enough. It's only four things.
Long find, short find, long nurture, short nurture. So let's go through kind of quick examples to even hit this point further home. A long find would be an article that is written around an SEO keyword search term.
Yeah.
So it could be how to create my online course from start to finish. The keyword being online course, right? Or create online course. It's an article on my website. Great. That is long find content. I want new people to search into Google and I want them to find that article. Cool. Yeah. Moving on to short find content. Okay. Now this is a little different because you are creating around keywords, but remember this short content is going on these social media platforms like TikTok or Reels or something. So really you want to target just topic keywords. You want to tell the algorithm, like, put my content in the business bucket, right? So that might even work for online business, like we said, or online course was our other thing. So imagine a 60-second TikTok where I go, in 60 seconds, I'm going to tell you my process to create your next online course.
Exactly.
And I create a TikTok about that. And that's me telling the algorithm, hey, serve this up to people interested in online courses. And maybe in the cat, you know, the one little caption, I put something about business. And so I'm telling the algorithm I'm in the business bucket. They might serve that to people who are interested in business. That might attract new people to my account, right?
Yeah.
That is short find. Long nurture would be a newsletter where I go, this is a perfect example from last week's newsletter. Here's my mantra for beating perfectionism. Just get clay on the table. That's a real newsletter we wrote about. No one's searching clay on the table.
Exactly.
Maybe you could argue someone's searching fighting perfectionism, but probably not that many people.
And it even could be related to an online course, right? Yeah. So it's like getting your first course started is like getting clay on the table. Like you just have to get an outline going or whatever, but no one is going to search that phrase. So that kind of content is not going to help you in any like way of someone discovering it.
Exactly. So it's still valuable content, but really it's not created with the intent purpose of using search to attract new people. And then, or these podcast episodes, like that's not going to happen either. And then for short nurture content, you know, that's like a quote card on Instagram and nobody's probably going to be able to discover that unless you use little search terms or whatever. But mostly that's just a reminder to tell your audience like, hey, I'm here. I exist. Did you check this out? Did you know I have a webinar coming up? Those types of things, right?
Yeah.
So now that you have an idea of this like kind of matrix, you can start to see how each one of those types of content serves a valuable role in bringing either new people to your audience in the find side or nurturing your existing audience on the nurture side.
Yeah. I'll just throw this out there because I love doing these things ad hoc as we record a podcast episode, especially for someone who like you're right in the middle of the episode and you are intently listening and you are interested. If you send us an email, hello@wanderingaimfully.com, and you want our coaching session replay of us going over the content salad matrix, I will send you the direct video link so that you can check it out. So you can watch it for yourself.
The visuals are helpful.
The visuals are very helpful, and we have lots of examples in there, and it walks you through in much more in-depth. So that's for someone who, like, you were on a run and you literally stopped and you were like, let me visualize this quadrant. Okay, there's fine up there. Okay, fine down there. And like, but you, and you're like, I'm very interested in this. I'm going to send an email. Hello at Wandering Aimfully. And I will send you the direct link to the video so you can watch this and get the replay yourself.
Fantastic.
Okay. So now to further explain the matrix.
Yeah.
Not the movie. The quadrants.
We basically took this idea of this matrix and we sat down for both businesses and we said, cool. What do we want to create for each one of those categories? What potential search term do we want to target? This is where it also would be very helpful to bring an SEO expert in and say, hey, you're really good at searching for keywords and understanding all these keyword tools that tell you like what's the search volume and the CPC and the da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Tell me what of these search terms it would be best for me to target for my business, right?
Yeah. And for us, we actually did this. We hired someone on Fiverr and we would definitely recommend Fiverr, Upwork, choose your platform of choice to have someone help you do an audit. And what we found from this person was actually confirmed what we already knew, which was like the article content that we have on the Wandering Aimfully website is not targeted to our ideal customer and solving the ideal problems that they are trying to solve. And we've known that for years, but we've never really had the time or the matrix to sit and see, oh, wow, like we're really not serving up like targeted content for our person. And also our business has evolved over 6 years.
Exactly. Like we've gotten a much better idea. And the truth is we've poured so much of our knowledge into this nurture content. We've poured so much knowledge into podcast episodes, so much knowledge into our coaching sessions, so much knowledge into our newsletters. And we've just done a not great job of taking the time to package all of that into an article format that could be discovered by someone who's looking for, you know, authority figures or people that they like to learn from to be like, I want to create a digital products business. How do I do that?
Yeah.
And so again, just to tell you where we are in this journey, we're going to now go into our matrix for WAME and our matrix for Teachtree and where all of this whole 5-week content extravaganza came from, because this is the strategy part and then the extravaganza is the execution part. So
whenever you hear extravaganza, you do think Sunday, 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 right?
What's that from?
Oh, there's just an extravaganza on Sundays.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I picture one of those like
wavy
guys. Yeah.
Okay. So the first thing is the find long quadrant. Can I just talk about this?
Yes, please.
So the reason I brought up the SEO person that we hired on Fiverr was just to basically get like confirmation of what we were already believing, which was we don't have the right content. When someone lands on our site, like there isn't a clear next step of like, these are the things that you should know about how we believe a calm business should be created. Learn these different things, whether it's about your offer, whether it's about your digital product, whether it's about building an audience. Like we don't cover any of those topics. And so it was just really helpful to have that person confirm, like, he was like, I don't know what to do next. And we're like, we knew that, but like having you say it really it stings. Hurts. So what we did was we basically sat down and we thought, like, what are the big categories for articles, which are the things we just mentioned, offers, product, building an audience, those things. And then what are, if we wrote out little bullet points underneath those could be articles based on creating those things.
Right. Like what would be the five key articles that would teach someone under that category? So if you're following along and you want to do this for your own business, think about your target customer. Think about what the ultimate benefit is that you want to create for them. And then ask yourself, what are the content buckets? What are the categories of things to talk about that are almost like the steps to getting them to that outcome, right? So that's what we did. So we're like, okay, our ultimate outcome is to allow someone to take their creativity and turn that into a scalable digital products business and to do that without burning out. What are those big categories? So we had 8 categories and then we wrote down 5 articles in each one of those categories. Again, you don't need to have 8.
Like, and we haven't written these yet. This is just us ideating. This is just ideas. Yeah.
What are the 5 key articles under each one of those categories that like would really encapsulate our core knowledge on that topic area and tell someone what they need to do in order to, again, get to that overall outcome that you're trying to get for someone?
Yeah. So we walked away with, from that exercise, 40 articles, of which we have 300
article titles. Yeah.
We have 393 published articles on our website currently. About 8 of those existing overlap articles fit.
Yeah.
So that just tells you like we did not have a strategy before and it worked fine. And for those of you who are listening who've had a blog for years and you've been in the same bucket as us, you probably are going to run into the same thing. You're going to identify like, this is my target person. This is what they need to know. I have not written content specifically about this. That's great. That's an opportunity. That is exactly. a place for you to improve just like us. So that is going to be one of our content extravaganza weeks, which will be the WAME articles, knocking those 40 articles out and getting them done. And we will have a podcast episode dedicated to that in the future when we get to that yes. week. We will walk you through how we use ChatGPT to get that done. We haven't done it yet. So I'm just saying, like, this is yeah. stuff we're already going
to
be thinking about
doing. We will talk to you about what are the keywords that we're trying, how yeah. are we incorporating keywords in the titles. We're going to do all of that alongside you. So that is our find long content for WAME. Moving on to find short content. So we are planning to create shorts for digital product creators around these, you know, keywords of things like sell digital products or sell online courses or online course business, solopreneur, etc. And we're going to mainly keep those to Instagram and YouTube shorts. Again, I know this creates more complexity because as you're thinking about what is the content piece, then you have to think about what platform am I distributing that content piece on. So something like short form video could go on Instagram, it could go on YouTube, it could go on all these places. So you really want to match your content platform to your audience and where you want to be. And so for us, for WAME, we think it makes sense, like our audience is on Instagram. We're just kind of interested in experimenting with the YouTube shorts because we do have, you know, a channel of 10,000 followers on or subscribers on YouTube. So we think it makes sense to just cross promote there. We're not going to pour a bunch of extra effort into creating unique content to each platform. I think that's just a trade-off you have to decide on. And for us right now, like I said, we're in the messy beginning. It's just about getting the content created.
Exactly. A question just came in from the crowd.
Yes, go ahead.
Why not use TikTok for WAME?
We, number one, it's not our favorite platform. And so we don't want to be creating content on a place that we don't want to be unless there's a really good reason for it, which we will get to in
with
the
Tea Tree
bucket.
Yeah.
So the short answer is we don't want to post that content there. And we think that there's plenty of opportunity on Instagram and YouTube shorts for our WAME content. So we're going to stick to that.
Cool. So we are going to have a full week in our content extravaganza, 5 weeks dedicated to WAME shorts.
Yep. And our goal for that week, again, I think it's important to set like what's happening in that week. Just like we said, the 40 articles, our goal for just the fine short week is to create 10 short form videos.
Yeah.
We have no idea what formulas are going to work for us. We have no idea. Honestly, we were both like starting to get back into like CapCut and like all the editing software and stuff. We don't know what that's going to look like. So I think just starting with like, you know, let me just start with 3 videos or let me just start with creating 1 video and just setting a low goal for yourself of just getting started, I think is important.
Great. So that is short find or find short. Now let's go to nurture long.
We don't
for
need
WAME.
Any help in the nurture long department.
All of the content we have created for the past 6 years for WAME, it lives in nurture
we
long.
We love to nurture. We live to nurture. Do you feel nurtured listening to this right
yeah.
now?
Yeah. So the Growing Steady podcast that you're listening to is a form of that. The Growing Steady newsletter, which if you haven't subscribed yet, you can go to growingsteady.co and you can easily subscribe to our newsletter. Those we basically have on lock. We are good to go. That we do well.
And we have a great creation system for that. Yeah. So it's just very well oiled. And then moving on to nurture short. So we have this idea to also turn our previous newsletters.
So I like this idea a lot because it's not creating new ideas. Like we're not ideating and like pouring a bunch of brain power into new stuff. We're going to take and repurpose a bunch.
Okay. I love that you were so excited about that.
Yeah.
You did interrupt me before I got to say what it was.
I know, but I was really excited.
No, I know. And I love you so much. But I am going to finish the sentence, which is we're going to turn old newsletters into Instagram carousels.
Yeah, we are.
Because you really left them on the edge of their seat there.
I know. I needed to, though.
But you do love this idea because it's repurposing old content.
Exactly. So our entire nurture short strategy is going to be repurposing old articles into Instagram carousels. And old newsletters into Instagram carousels.
Because we've created all of this content. It's just been insular. So what can we do to transform that content into something that a new person could discover us if they were to search on Instagram and
yeah.
business coaches or online course business or digital products, et cetera.
Yeah. Also, we did hire someone on Upwork this past weekend to go through our previous email newsletters, 250 of them, and put them in a Notion database
yep.
because if you write newsletters, you've never done that. They always just live elsewhere. And so now we have an organized database that I can go back through. This is going to be one of my tasks. When we do the article week is kind of where this is going to fall into. That same Waym article week, we're going to fall into the short repurposing week. So I'm excited for that because we basically have like a bank of content just sitting there waiting to be repurposed that literally existed one time in someone's email inbox and then they never saw any of it again.
Yep.
So,
and now you might be wondering, like, where's your YouTube video? We don't know yet. We don't know. We just, we started with this and with Waym. So this is plenty. So we're going to get that going. And we feel good about it. So moving on to now Teatree. What does our matrix look like for Teatree? Because remember, we have zero content. This is not even long nurture content.
How many blog posts have we ever created on Teatree?
That's zero.
How many podcasts?
Zero.
YouTube videos?
Zero.
Any short form content at all about Teatree?
No, but that business still makes $9,000 a month if you can believe
it. It's almost $10,000. You got to round up.
We're going to round up. We're going to round up.
We're at $9,900.
Yeah.
So you can't say $9,000.
Okay. So that is just proof that you don't need content in order to make a good business. But definitely we have topped out at what that business can do. So what we're going to do for Find Long is, again, kind of the same Waym strategy. We're going to create these category articles around, but more specifically around online course creation.
Yeah, and not necessarily for beginners. So it's more about like getting your course structured and set up, but from the standpoint of you already know how to create a course. Like, we're not going to just go through like the basics of a course lesson. Like, that's not who we're trying to target.
How can we help you do it faster,
exactly,
more efficiently, more creatively?
Which is also why, as a part of like a content planning strategy exercise, it's important to know who your exact customer is, what problem you're solving for them. So for Teatree, it would be very easy to go the route of like, well, let's do all the beginning online course creator content. But there are like 20 other course platforms that have already done this. We're not going to compete on that. So let's focus where we can, which is going to be in customization and, you know, getting maybe course creation done quicker, those types of things.
Definitely.
So we're going to do articles. And unlike Waym, where we thought of 8 categories, we only ended up thinking, I think, of 5 categories for Teatree. So we ended up with 32 total articles that will be done in the Teatree article extravaganza week of its own week when we're doing that. So fantastic. That is our Find Long for Teatree.
So Find Short content. We are going to be creating, again, shorts around this idea of online course creation and online course design. And so we have a couple of ideas for kind of like categories of where those videos are going to live. But this is where we are going to test out TikTok videos for this, as well as Instagram and shorts. And the reason for that is because we're starting from zero. We really can't afford to, if we're already going to create the shorts, we might as well cross post to TikTok. And I do think TikTok as a platform is an interesting place where visual content and design content can do well. And so I just want to test it out, see how it feels, whether we like or dislike being there. And I think each one of these platforms has its own unique advantage that it brings to the table. TikTok's advantage, of course, is the fact that if a video hits on TikTok, like, it's going to spread versus I think we've all seen on Instagram.
Just the reach is limited.
The reach is limited, and you can have reels that kind of take off on Instagram, of course, but I do think it's not quite like TikTok. So,
and then YouTube Shorts is really just like, we have no idea.
Yeah, we have no
idea. So, but yeah, I think the fun thing there to share is that, again, why we're not posting Waym on TikTok is because we're going to post Teatree on TikTok. So we kind of want to use it as our own playground to be like, okay, how does this feel? We don't want to be working on both at the same time for that. Like, if we're embarking on a new
platform.
And
like I said, Teatree's short content is going to be much more visual and design focused versus something like Waym, which is much more tips focused and educational content. And I just think the visual type of content works better on TikTok, unless you want to be like in people's faces giving tips about how you can make passive income over the weekend.
What about drop
shipping? Become a millionaire.
Can you drop
ship? Flames. There's hormozy captions coming in left and right.
There's like a thing down the bottom that's playing because people's attention is so bad. There's going to be like another
Subway
thing.
Surfers playing or whatever.
Oh my gosh. All right. So that's our Find Short idea. And the goal for the week when we are doing the shorts for Teatree is 10 to 10.
I said 10. I wrote down some aggressive goals here. I think 10 is where we should start.
Okay. So for Nurture Long for Teatree, again, this is where we're very different than Waym, where Teatree has never had any content.
Right.
So we've been thinking that YouTube will be the go-to kind of like choice for this.
Yep.
So YouTube, we're going to do different series like Watch Us Build a Course for a Yoga Instructor, or kind of like Teatree tutorials on how to use a feature, you know, kind of quickly and easily in a couple different ways. And, you know, our go-to would normally be a newsletter, but who really wants a newsletter from a software company? Like, I subscribe to them for like 2 weeks and I'm like, this is really boring. And I think we could try and make it more interesting, but I think you're fighting an uphill battle.
I think so too. I think something as simple though as like what we do now basically, which is like a monthly features update and with some inspiration, maybe we link to the style files, which is a topic for a different day.
Yeah. So this is going to happen in the Tea Tree video week. So I know it sounds like there's like 10 weeks that we have illustrated, but some of them will overlap because like, I'll be doing the articles 1 week while you'll be doing the shorts.
Yes.
So,
we'll recap it at the end. And then finally, the nurture short for Tea Tree is really just going to be, again, this carousels from articles strategy. And that's more of like the tip-based things of like how to create your courses more quickly.
Yeah. And just a reminder of, you know, these two businesses and the idea behind it is, you know, some of the long form and short form content is about discoverability. So that's more kind of, I would say, general tip based, helping you learn a thing, like educational. And the nurture content can be a little bit maybe more fun or not values as targeted.
Based, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely, that's kind of the way that we think about these things. And you're going to get to kind of ride along with us here as we A, create that, but then, you know, a month or two from now when we start posting it, sharing with you all like, what's working? What isn't working? Like, what are we liking? What are we not liking? What's the process look like?
Yeah. And I just want to reiterate here. I know that was a lot that we went through. It's like Jason said, it's because it's for two businesses. And it's also because we very much are embracing this whole experimentation phase of getting this going again. It's going to be a matter of just doing it imperfectly, experimenting with all these different types of content and content formats, knowing what the greater role is that each one plays in attracting new people to our audience or nurturing existing people in our audience. And we want to take our learnings over the next, you know, 3 to 6 months of all of that, and then be able to systematize it on the back end and go, okay, you know, shorts was not worth it for us, or okay, now the articles exist. And so are we going to be creating new articles or
and
not?
That's the thing to reiterate here. These 5 weeks are really about setting us up for the next 6 months, in that like the articles, I think once those articles are done, the goal is we don't have to write new articles for quite a long time, if ever, if they're serving the need of the customer and like we've written about all the things we want to write about. The YouTube, you know, TikTok, Instagram short content, that's ongoing. That's something we're going to have to keep creating. But what we want to do is bank enough that we get far enough ahead of ourselves that we're not creating on Monday to post on Tuesday. And it's like the cycle that you fall into where it feels very difficult. So the whole idea here is just to get way ahead of ourselves in a lot of these categories, content categories, find processes that work for each, and then also figure out which ones we like doing and that are actually bringing results. Because what's the point of creating all this content if we're not actually seeing an uptick in email subscribers or new trials for Tea Tree, that type of thing?
Exactly. So if you zoom out the lens, you know, we had this meeting where we filled out the matrix for both businesses, and then you kind of look at it and you go, what? Like, how do I do this? And so that's where you just have to roll up your sleeves and go, what is my approach for executing on all of this? And we basically decided, that's where our 5-week content extravaganza
came from.
So we decided, we prioritized them basically. So we decided this week, as of recording this, is going to be Tea Tree short week. So we are going to try to come up with a system for recording our 10 Tea Tree shorts. Next, the following week will be week 2, will be Tea Tree article week. We will write the foundation articles for Tea Tree. The following week after that will be Tea Tree video week. How do we do long form videos for Tea Tree? What does that look like? The following week, week 4, will be the WAME article week, to try to do those 40 articles, which also that week we'll be turning those into the Instagram carousels.
Yep.
And then the final week, week 5, will be WAME shorts week. So what does that look like? And the reason for kind of identifying a week in order to focus on each one of these things is, again, I'm just going to reiterate, it's going to be messy, right? Like, who knows if we're going to be able to even create 10 shorts for Tea Tree this week. We don't know what those videos are going to look like. We don't know what formulas we're going to follow. We don't know what works for us. But by identifying this is the week that we're focusing on that, we're giving ourselves a chance to really figure that out.
Yeah. And as a reminder, these next 5 weeks are really just about creation. So we don't even know what a posting schedule looks like yet. And I think for those of you listening to this, give yourself permission to be in the same space if you're kind of feeling the same thing, which is like, great, let me just get ideas. Let me fill out the matrix for myself. Let me do a review of my own kind of content strategy right now. Start banking some content ahead of time of what you want to create. And then build a posting schedule that feels consistent and doable and calm and predictable, as opposed to just being like, well, tomorrow I'm going to start posting TikToks. And then now you've built this thing for yourself, or like, great, now I have to feel like I have to post a new short every single day because I've built a system that I can't keep up with.
Definitely. And we're, like we said, we're going to bring you along for the ride. So you're going to get all of that beautiful, messy behind the scenes. Like, man, we had such well-laid plans.
I have a prediction that I don't think our first week of the extravaganza is going to go smoothly, but we will find out, and you all will find out.
Not with an attitude like that.
Of course. Hey, if you have any questions about what we're thinking about for this content strategy, feel free to send us an email. Also, if you have a content strategy that's working well for you, or like a content format or process or whatever, we would love to know about them so that we can steal from you what's working for you. And obviously, we don't want to steal your content, but like processes, ideas, other things that are working, tools that you're using. Send us an email, hello@wanderingaimfully. We'd love to absolutely know your content questions or content strategies that are working well.
Yeah. And, you know, we are back on the content train, and we are just looking forward to a new era of creating new things and figuring things out and experimenting. And that always reinvigorates the business. So,
yeah, I think we'll probably just be able to get ChatGPT to do all of this. I think so.
Great.
It'll be easy.
Yeah. It'll sound really good too.
It'll be perfect. Okay. That's it.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.